All right, this is tape 8, side 16 then. Side 16, we're continuing with Richard Rao, and today is the 19th of August. I had just asked Richard, after telling me that he would like to audition in New York, et cetera, I asked him now what the chances are that he will do that.
50-50.
Good answer. Okay, I have to ask you this because there's been such controversy about not the book, but the film Lolita. Have you seen it? With Jeremy Irons?
No, actually a friend of mine, my best friend, because he gets Showtime on cable and I don't get it, he taped it for me because I told him I want to use it in my class, both the new version and the old version, and compare the two. I have not seen it yet. I hear it's fairly tame.
What did your friend say?
He hasn't seen it either.
Ah, okay. All right. What did you think of the novel?
I loved it. I read it when I was a graduate student, undergraduate student at Pitt back in the 50s. It had taken several years to pass censorship laws in the United States. And I read recently the key to the book is what Nabokov said about it. He said it's a love of the English language, and that's what the book's about. More than just the satire, but the English language that is in the book, the word, are absolutely unbelievable. You do need a dictionary to sit through
it. It's exquisite, it really is.
Yeah, it's like a poem with words or a painting with words. Now, this is I'm going to have to convey to my students when they get really upset, because when I read it as an undergraduate, I had great trouble with it because he uses extremely difficult words.
I want to ask you something that is probably very provocative. When I read it, I felt that one of the reasons, and the older I've gotten, I feel that one of the things that's so objectionable to the Lolita people that I talk to is that I think he felt that young girl nymphlets are very seductive. Not that that is any reason to respond to a 13-year-old, but that there is something very seductive about that age.
Probably.
And that was very disturbing. Do you feel that that was part of the...
Part of the objection? Oh, I think so, yeah. And since nowadays, because of various sex scandals, both in Europe and the United States, everybody's very super sensitive. And we're very concerned that the movie would suggest more trouble. But even the original movie was very censored, and the book is, fairly wide open. But... yeah, there's an area of where pedophilia is no longer just a word. It's really come out of the language, and people are very, very concerned about it. I don't know. I think you can read the book and enjoy the movie and still run a fairly normal life.
You talk about confusing the language. Was it written originally in English or in Russian? Do you know?
I don't know that.
I think it was English. Barry Paris commented on the fact that Nabokov was one of the few people that wrote in like 3 or 4 different languages.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it is in English. I never heard that it was in Russian at first. And
but he did write in at least three different languages.
It is a very, very unusual novel. It does operate on several levels, and one of them is the satire of America at that time. And the movie, the first movie, since I haven't seen the second one, I don't know, captures that very, very well, but not brilliantly, not the way the book does. The book is so much better than the movie, and I have a feeling better than the second movie also. But I've been hearing that the second movie captures the book very well. I even have the screenplay that Nabokov wrote, the first screenplay. He couldn't have written this one, he's dead, but... and this screenplay that he wrote is an adaptation of his own novel. So what's interesting is that I really, in effect, should be teaching the adaptation of the novel and not the novel. Well, no, you have to read the novel and see the movie, which is the adaptation of his own book. It's going to be interesting. I don't know. I have no idea what these students are like. They could be all I don't know what I'm getting into, which would help me a little bit to know how, what kind of level I should be. I'm starting the course with The Great Gatsby, so I hope it's not too bad.
Richard, I wanted to ask you something. We've questioned you in so many different areas, and
yes, for many, many hours.
For many, many, many hours.
And why do you keep me chained here to this chair?
Well, because you're such a nice.
I know, but I would like to get up and walk around the room.
Then why don't you walk around the room, and your voice won't be heard? I want to know: is there anything that we left out that you would like to tell us about?
Oh, I'm sure there's hundreds of millions of things that I might. I don't know. I mean. Who knows?
It certainly looks like you have a very colorful future.
Well, who knows? It may not be. I may end up just sitting in my apartment watching Young and the Restless.
It's possible. That's not such a bad thing to do.
No, that's true.
But you can tape that during the
that's
day.
That's true. So I can go out to the shopping malls and maul myself to death. No, I think that I don't know what I'm going to do next. I'm still one of the oldest men I know who still hasn't made up his mind about what his life's goals are going to be. I mean, I'm going to be teaching. Yes, I do act occasionally. I do write for the Post-Gazette. I did run a film series. It's still running in Pittsburgh. Tonight we're showing Raise the Red Lantern, the Chinese picture, with Gong Li. And I don't know. I don't know what's next.
All right, I have one more question.
I can get hit by a truck, too, Marie.
That's Mary. Possible. That's possible.
Marie. Why did I call you Marie?
Whatever you don't
Well, but no. Get it right. What did you say?
She's decadent.
All right. Gabby's decadent?
Decadent. What, I would like to ask you, what is your opinion of all these new films that are coming out, all these...
Well, I don't have a very high opinion of it. I mean,
okay.
I think that we've wasted a great... the great possibility of the movie, which was invented 100 years ago, we've kind of lost a little bit of it. That isn't to say you can't make movies. I don't want to sit up on a perch and say I'm... passing judgment, but all this stuff, Lethal Weapon 4 and Armageddon and Snake Eyes, and it's just a lot of things that don't really challenge us intellectually, but just sort of entertain us. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of it's just junk, for which we're paying $7 a shot to see.
And since you're one of your great loves is theater, certainly your mother's was as well, and your father supported it all these years, what is your opinion of Broadway coming out with so many revivals and there's so little...
Well, that too is a big problem. In fact, the New York Times wrote an article about it on Sunday. With a great number of revivals going on, there's no willingness to entertain new work. And the reason being that the producers don't want to risk the money to have somebody come to Broadway. So we have to try all this stuff out in the hinterlands and maybe stays off Broadway and maybe. But then that assumes that Broadway is the only place to be. I mean, it still is one of the most exciting places in the world to watch theater. But the state of theater, like the state of movies in this country is today in the 1990s, at the end of the century, is a little bit questionable. But it's us. It's the way we are. This is what we want, and this is what we go to see. If we go to see an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical that's enormous, huge, big, large, that's what we want to see.
And noisy.
I mean, I'm not saying that out of all this won't come some great renaissance of theater and movies. But for the movies, it'll be the independence. I think that's the future for the best movies. Some of the best movies I've seen in Pittsburgh have been these little independent movies.
Such as?
A wonderful little movie called Clock Watchers with Parker Posey about a bunch of girls being temps. Whoa, boy, what an uninteresting topic that could be, and yet it just turned into a very funny little movie with Parker Posey being one of the funniest young actresses in the country right now. But all she does is these little independent movies. I watched a movie that's not quite as good called High Art with Ali Sheedy. It's a lesbian, kind of a lesbian-themed movie, but it certainly takes risks that no American movie's taking. It's a little bit on the boring side, and it's very down, and it deals with the drug scene, and some of it is incomprehensible, but at least it's trying something, breaking the waves. The Spanish Prisoner, these little movies that come around, and I think they are often better than these big, splashy Hollywood musicals, but this has always been movies, but this has always seems to be the case in the last 20 years. We don't seem to. I think just want to be entertained, which was the case before.
And how does this compare to London?
Well, I don't know much about the London scene. I think that London. You mean London theater?
Theater.
Well, I think it's prospering, but not probably as much as it used to be. And I think the ticket prices are going up there, too. But they're turning out some good stuff and bad stuff. Maybe more, possibly a little more finesse than we are.
Well, they have the repertoire.
Right, right, which are supported. We aren't. We don't have this.
The national.
We are so, we're just not art. We're not as arts-oriented. I mean, after all, if you look at it bluntly, we have, in Pittsburgh here, two $250 million sports stadiums to be built, and a gigantic convention center to be rebuilt, and we have tons of malls being built, and big 20 and 10 and 20 plex movie theaters, one of which will be in the downtown Pittsburgh area. And the arts have to struggle more for their existence and recognition, whereas the sports doesn't have to do anything, just put up the stadiums and spend a lot of money doing it. And I think the future of the country isn't in its sports, but maybe that's where we are heading, I don't know.
Well, National Endowment for, did you read Sunday William Safire on language and defining what is art and what is,
no, I didn't
see. Well, you know, who is deciding now what should be getting funding from the National Endowment?
Yeah, I think
that's scary.
Yeah, it's very scary because, we're once again putting the politics before the horse, and we're trying to legislate how we want things to be seen in the United States, and it's tough. It's very, very difficult to... the climate has never been totally pro-art, certainly not in Pittsburgh, but... We try. We have a good symphony. We have a good ballet. We have a good dance council. The opera seems to flourish, but it's a limited flourishing.
Do you think television has interfered with that?
Yeah, of course. It did from the beginning.
Yeah.
It started in the 50s, and it hasn't changed.
I mean, you can hear the three tenors.
Right, right, exactly. You don't need to do anything. Just go buy videos the rest of your life and just watch. But as I discovered when I did my film series again this summer, nothing beats watching a movie on this gigantic screen. It just doesn't. You know, it doesn't, and people need to realize that we cannot spend the entire 21st century sitting in our homes, pushing buttons and ordering things on the internet. But that's what's happening, and that's the new world that's about to dawn. And we may be watching Broadway shows on our TV sets in the future. Well, they're already pay-per-view movies, and they're pay-per-view Broadway shows. You don't have to go anywhere, just stay home. Don't want to interact with the traffic and people yelling and screaming and throwing chewing gum on you. I don't want to make it sound in these tapes as if the future of the arts is oblique, but sometimes it needs some adjusting, fine-tuning. It's just very difficult. It's a very difficult problem. It is always a money problem because America runs on money. And if the thing doesn't make money, you don't keep it going. If the film doesn't make money, then you scrap it. If the Broadway show costs $6 million, $7 million, $10 million, and it doesn't make it back, you don't do that kind of thing again. You pick somebody who's going to do it right the next time. You pick the right director. You pick the right script. You do all the things that are safe so that you get the right product on the screen. And on the theater, and that's why Stephen Sondheim is not as well. I mean, they'll always produce a Sondheim show, but he's poison on Broadway. The shows don't do any business. Maybe Follies did at one point, but it doesn't do nothing happens. And his last show, which I didn't even like, called Assassins. I'm sorry, Passion. Just about people in love.
Depressing.
Very depressing. You liked it, okay?
Yeah.
Well, see,
very
there
depressing.
You are. There you are. You see, we have a difference of opinion in this room. I think it was depressing, and I thought the music was dull. So, Gabby, you want to step into the parking lot? See, she's afraid. She thinks I might punch her.
Sure, she's afraid.
No, no, no.
Well, anyway, but I think, you know, we'll get through it, and like everything else, we'll figure out a way to resurrect the arts for the umpteenth time, and maybe, and out of all this, there are a few gems that come along. In New York, art by that young Iranian French girl is a wonderful, wonderful play, and it's just a simple play, and it's on Broadway. And every so often, a movie like Clock Watchers comes along, and it's just so delightful in its simplicity. We get back to the basics, we'll be better off.
There.
There.
Art, is there anything else you'd like to add? Richard, it really has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Truly. We started out asking you questions about your family. And
right. And now here we are.
But you're an incredible product of that
14
family.
Years have gone by. Now I'm 91 years old, and I've seen you. But how come you guys haven't gotten older?
Because we got to do stuff.
You go to the beauty.